It is good. Again, wave one more time and smile. It is good. Again, wave one more time and smile. I have to be honest with you, even if you're hearing my voice, I've been on the floor probably for 4 or 5 hours in the last 3 days, just being on my face before Papa God, just being so overwhelmed by His goodness, His kindness, His love, and He's just been overwhelming us. Last night we just finished the Kingdom Family Movement gathering there, and part of the thing, we've had people like Todd White was with us, we had Jake Hamilton. We just had quite a few of our friends coming in, another one named David Wagner, Papa Jack, Paul Yaddo, just a lot of us. And it's been so good also with you as a family partnering with us, with Greg and Michelle. And my wife and myself, especially last night, was very special because I just felt that my own daughters, what I needed next for the next season, I needed to receive from my children. And I've been on this journey where I'm seeing small little children. And when I see these little children, in one of these meetings, one little girl with a flag, she was just dancing. And I realized the Holy Spirit, there was 1,000 leaders in the room, but the Holy Spirit says, she has what you need next. And I knew that there's an invitation to go and drink from this pure water of Bethlehem that is near the gate. It's just coming back again to the basics. Going back again to, like David when he was playing a harp, but he did it without an agenda. It was not so that he could one day change the environment of a Saul. When David was practicing a sling, and I just finished a book called Giant Slayers that is coming out, these ground rules for killing giants that is in the land. But I realized so many times, we're even going into presence and we're studying so that we can have a message or get another book, instead of just going in to be with Him without any agenda. So I'm just realizing more and more in this season, and that was part of what I sensed yesterday. So I'm just telling that as I got wrecked in the presence of God, my daughters was just, they just prayed over me, and since then I don't know what else happened through the night. And so even my sinuses, crying so much. I had a sinus surgery, and they told me on Monday that you're not supposed to cry, you're not supposed to do all these different things. And instead, I've not done anything else than crying. But it is tears of joy. Because I do believe that we're living in the greatest season that the world has ever seen. We're living in a time when the kingdom of the Lord is becoming the kingdom of this world. And I'm saying that just even as I have a spiritual son, Paul Yaddo and Papa Jack. There's quite a few also of our spiritual family, the one with the saxophone. They flew all the way from Australia to be part of that. And just changing the environment. But right now, as I say, for us as a family, my wife and myself, we're seeing in 22 nations, we're seeing a culture that is actually changing the culture. And even in regard to some of the most radical Muslim world, we're literally seeing now just how the light business is doing very well in the middle of all the darkness. And every time I'm hearing the news about darkness, my stock goes up because I'm in the light business. So light is winning against darkness, love is winning against fear, and perfect love always casts out fear. So they are ready to watch the video. So what we're going to do this morning, I just want to, because we have Papa Jack. I don't know anyone, he's 83 years old, and we've been for the last 17 years together with Mama Frieda and Papa Jack, but I don't know anybody that can give us a kingdom template like Papa Jack, and in 10 minutes and 12 seconds. And then Paul Yara is going to come in and just see covenant, because what everything is all about is two words in this season. It is covenant and kingdom. Covenant is all about family. Say family. And kingdom is actually the mission of that family. Covenant is all about relationship. Say relationship. And the kingdom is the responsibility of those relationships. It is how we are living this thing out together. So we are in a season, and this video, I think, can capture those 3 minutes. But what we are seeing right now is very unique and very rare. And what we wanted as a family with a 3 generation is just to be able to say what we believe in regard to this kingdom family movement that you are part of, this family is part of it, that is actually now sweeping across the world. There is this tsunami wave of the goodness and the kindness of God that is sweeping the nations, that is leading to mass repentance. And there's over 1 billion new names that is about to be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. But God doesn't want 1 billion orphans. He wants 1 billion sons and daughters. So as a result of that, you saw that they took the first Reformation, restored Jesus. How many of you are excited that you're saved by grace? Wave to me. The first Reformation, and we're celebrating 500 years next year that you're saved by grace. The second Reformation restored the Holy Spirit. How many of you are excited about that? 1906. And by the way, I just talked to the top missiologist a few weeks ago that says in another 10 years, 75% of all the Christians in the world will be both word and spirit people. So this is the new breed of people that God is doing. But I want you to know we are an inlet of another Reformation that is greater than any of the other Reformation. And the next Reformation is the Father is about to be restored. The first one restored Jesus. The second one restored the Holy Spirit. This is going to restore the Father, and it is restoring the family. When that is taking place, the curse would be broken over the land. And that's also connected to that very glory that we were talking about. And that is when sons and daughters of glory are stepping in. And this is what God is doing. He's raising up sons and daughters that are full of love. They are rooted and grounded in love. It's like an eagle. The whole embodiment is love. But the wings are full of wisdom and power. So I have not given you a spirit of fear, but what I've given you is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And out of that sound mind, self-mastery in the way of thinking, there's shalom and peace, and from there wisdom flows. So just imagine that all these people that are in here, there's enough people just in this room to creating a tipping point in America. Because one becomes the new majority when it is the kingdom. So let's watch this video. Paul will describe the covenant, Papa Jack kingdom, and then we're just going to release some of the sounds of heaven that I believe that Papa God just wants for us to have this morning.
To live life in the kingdom of God is the ultimate journey. But no matter how much you've seen, you know deep down there is more. There is a longing in every heart, from the greatest leader to the most humble follower. Each one knows they're made for more than this. What if I told you there is a place where who you are and your identity is more valuable than anything you could do? And in that place, your relationships with people and your intimacy with God are the highest priority. What if there was a people who chose to honor the path in a way that made every generation relevant? The young and the old are both valuable to the future. And what if you were running alongside others who cheered you on in God's calling and destiny? Because when you win, we all win. This place does exist. It's here and now. Papa, what does the kingdom look like?
I don't know, child. But what I do know is that it will only be entrusted to a family.
Join your journey with ours, a family of families, changing the world together.
It's such an honor to be here, to be part of the family, to share my part of the peace of revelation that God has been giving to us. I know that all kingdom revelation only grows in the soil of relationship. We can have all the revelations, but if there's no context for it to grow, and things grow in relationship best, that's when we see the 30, 60, and 100-fold of fruits coming out, and it's true relationship. If we go back to the scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 23, 26, and 27, it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule." That's the first mention of ruling and reigning or taking dominion when you talk about kingdom. But let's see how God planned it. He said, "Let us, the triune God, the family, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit," saying, "let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule and reign." The security, the longevity, the potential, the power, the expansion of the kingdom is secured whenever we have the culture, which is the family culture. Because the core of the kingdom is not an organization. It is perfect love, perfect harmony, perfect humility, perfect submission, perfect generosity. And out of that flows wisdom, power, might, dominion. Out of that flows the ever-expanding kingdom, impacting not just this physical world, but even in the ages to come. From glory to glory, this is an unshakable kingdom. This is without end. And for us to understand how can this happen in our side of heaven, I believe we need to look at covenant, because covenant is the only ground, foundation by which we can build family. Apart from a covenantal relationship, we cannot see, we cannot establish the model here on earth, because the model in heaven is so perfect, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that is the desire of the Father, that we are to be sons and daughters of His here on earth. And so what happened in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, before time, before the foundation of time, Jesus is the Lamb of God who had been slain. He had a cut before the foundation of time. Wow, come to think of it. Before there was Adam and Eve, before there was a fall, Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, sits on the throne and He's got the cut. And covenant is berith, cut. In short, God created everything through this contact, through this lens, that He is willing to make a covenant with us. And the core essence of covenant is two becoming one. That's why I firmly believe that's the reason God instituted, the first institution that God instituted was the marriage between Adam and Eve, because from that is the foundation in which the family of God will spread throughout all the earth, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just as the waters covers the sea. Everything, all of heaven is released through a covenantal relationship. The precursor of this, you know, this is like a five hours teaching, but I just have to fuse it for the sake of time. The precursor of this covenant, and we know Adam and Eve fell, and then God said, "Where are you, Adam?" That question is not a question of location. It's a question of position. Where is your heart? I cannot feel your heart. There was a disalignment. And Adam said, "We're hiding because we see we're naked and we are ashamed," and they put fig leaves. And the church has been putting fig leaves on people instead of covenant. Because for God, what He did was it was not stated that He killed an animal, but He put a skin. In short, somebody died. something died, an animal that represents a covenantal relationship. From eternity to eternity, the ache of God is the two will become one. We will be eternally one. Because he is eternal Father. Next, we see in Abraham, just for the sake of time, Genesis 12, he gave the promise. And Abraham, come out of your country, your father's household, and your relatives, and I will give you the land. I will bless you, that blessing. And through you, the families of the earth will be blessed. Amazing. But for us to step into this covenantal relationship, we have to say goodbye to our old identity. Hallelujah. Old paradigm, old mindset, because God is bringing us into this promised land, a realm in which we will rule and reign. But it's through a relationship. Genesis 15, God cut a covenant with Abraham. First, he said to Abraham, come out, Abraham, which is a picture of Abraham had been hiding or pretty much comfortable in his tent. Many times, we feel like our dreams, our calling, our vision is as big as how much we can build. But God is saying to us, come out and try, start numbering and start counting the stars. For this will be your descendants. Well, Abraham did not do anything except for trying to count. And then he said, the scripture said, and Abraham believed. And it was credited on him, the righteousness. Take note of this. Matthew 6:33. And you will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. It's not just pursuit of the kingdom as a principle. We have to pursue it according to, side by side, with a covenantal relationship. And all these things shall be added unto us. He believed on that day it was credited on him. Abraham wants to seal the deal. He wants to be sure. He said, how can it be? And God said, bring the three-year-old heifer and those animals and cut it into half. So by doing that, in a way, Abraham passed through the blood. Yet, at one point, he was so tired. Genesis 15, he was so tired. He was so sleepy. Darkness was coming. And out of nowhere, Genesis 15, verse 18, God showed me this verse. Abraham saw these two lights, a burning furnace and a torch. He was not holding any torch or furnace. In their time, when two families will cut a covenant, they will walk to that path of blood in a figure of eight with lights, and then they will state their oath to one another. In short, when God says, cut the animals, he was willing to make a covenant. The covenant means, I'll die like these animals if I will not keep my part of the covenant. I will cease to become God if I don't do my part. Wow. So just imagine Abraham preparing the animals. He was so excited. And then, he saw these two lights. Who walked the path? Who sealed it? It was not Abram. He was just watching this. It is the Son and the Father in the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is the precursor covenant before Jesus died on the cross. We are just seeing this. It is God himself who is saying, I really, really love you. I want to be with you forever. And I'm doing everything to make this possible. Before time, I've chosen you. He cut that covenant. The Father speaking to the Son. And just imagine the trembling in the heart of Abraham. Fast forward. Genesis 17. Abraham, exalted father, became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. The name of God that time that was revealed is Yahweh, YHWH. God takes one H, put it in Abraham, and the other H, put it in Sarah. what was impossible for Sarah to give birth or Abraham to be a father of many nations now is possible. Because in Sarah, in Abraham is the nature of God. The two will become one. So when Paul talks about Christ is in us, we are in Christ, it's not just a mystery or a myth. It is a covenantal language. God really wants to be one with us for eternity to eternity. No one could separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. When Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." So now God is inviting us into his family. I'm wrapping up. I take 8 minutes. Hallelujah. Whew. This is the ache of God from eternity to eternity. He is eternal Father. There's a Psalm 68 says, God in his holy habitation is the father to the fatherless. He is the defender of the widows. And he sets the solitaries, those who are isolated, the orphans, into family. But the rebellious will dwell in the land of dryness. And in that same chapter it says, and when God walked as a father, Sinai shook. We will see more of the signs and wonders and miracles of God being displayed in our midst when we allow God to be our dad and we allow ourselves to be sons and daughters of God. And as one family, we will see the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just as the waters covers the sea. It is possible because now he cut the covenant. We are just participant. On that day, God made covenant with Abraham. That's why in Hebrews it says, God made an oath to himself. He cannot make it with Abraham. Abraham is imperfect. Hallelujah. Now, fast forward. Jesus came, and we know he was teaching about the Father. And it came the night before when he was about to be betrayed. He said, I eagerly want to eat this Passover, old covenant. Are you with me? He honored the old. I want to eat this because in the next, I will no longer eat it here. It will be in the kingdom. He knows that this Passover talks about him. He is the Lamb. For eternity to eternity, the Lamb who had been caught there, now he's excited. This piece of lamb, this is the last meat. Woo. And then he distributed the cup. Next, he took the bread. And he said, this is my body. It seemed like he moved from the old covenant to the new. I could see the spark in his eyes. What is in eternity now can be in time. This is the new covenant. He said, this is my body broken for you. Eat it. This is my blood shed for you. He did that. He tried that. John 6, people walk away from him when he said, I'm the bread. I'm the manna from heaven. Eat me. They walk away. Because a lot of people, they just want convenience, not covenant. But if we want to see the kingdom expanding, it is through a covenantal relationship. Jesus died. Finally, he said, it is finished. Fast forward. These two guys walking in Emmaus, Jesus walked with them and they never recognized it was Jesus. One guy was talking about the past. The other guy was talking about the present. Nobody could see the future. Sounds like the church. This conversation, we can describe history, we can describe relevance, but we cannot engage what is from heaven to earth. Not until Jesus was about to continue to walk, they said, please remain. And Jesus stayed, the scripture says, and their eyes were opened when he broke the bread. There's something to this. When Jesus broke that bread, covenant was again, they were reminded of the covenant, the finished work of Jesus. Something happened. They finally saw Jesus in his glorified form. I believe the only way we can build a family culture, and I see you in eternal lenses, is to make a covenant. If not, I'll be offended of you. I'll be offended of your lack of respect or whatever. And this is happening in the church because we want fig leaves rather than covenant. But if it's covenant, I will have a trembling in my heart because I see you in the spirit. I know you're bought by the blood. I don't see you for the color of your skin. I don't see you for your stature. I see you in the lens of eternity. I see the glory inside of you. The church has to be a family. It's time to go back to a covenantal relationship. Not just to be fine in an organization. Finally, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Before that, Jesus, his disciples, he passed through the walls and then he showed his hand and his side. And Thomas said, well, I only believe if I could touch. Why the scars and the wounds in the side? Why would Jesus retain that if he is glorified? Could have been perfect, buddy. Are you with me? Why? Because in eternity, he is the Lamb of God who had been slain before the foundation of time. What was in eternity, now it is in time. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is released. It is secured. Come on. Woo. That's why we can go to the nations and inherit nations. That's why we can step in as sons and daughters of God, not just as slaves, not just as missionaries. We are sons and daughters of God, walking in a covenantal relationship. Where we are, there His Spirit will be, His presence will be, His kingdom will be. Signs and wonders will follow us. Covenant. Lastly, on the day of outpouring, just imagine, you have 3,000 got saved. That moment, the Holy Spirit was poured out. They spoke in tongues. 70 plus nations represented that moment. Imagine that. And those guys, they decided to remain in Jerusalem. Have you tried organizing for 3,000 people? That's chaotic. And just imagine, they don't have Twitter or Facebook or whatever that time. They don't have, police will say, okay, you can only stay here. No, they just, right away, pitch their tent, live with people. Chaos, children running around, animals all over. How do you sustain a revival like that? If it's just organization, we cannot. And we can see in Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to apostles' doctrine. What is apostles' doctrine? It's not just a teaching. It is the big stories of Jesus. How was it to be with Jesus? And then the transformation. The doctrine is not just your systematic theology. It is the living experience, the testimonies of Jesus. And to what? Fellowship. Say it with me, koinonia. Sharing of lives. We have to share lives. Open up. If we are to be a family, we have to open up. Next is breaking of bread. I believe what is central to the outpouring is that breaking of bread. The covenant sustained the move of God. It's time to go back to a covenantal relationship because the kingdom of God is a family business. Thank you very much.
Would you like to follow that? We're working with Paul to seek if he can't get intense about this thing. If God had wanted something besides a family, He would have had us call him something besides a father. We won't understand the model prayer until we spend a while at the first two words, our Father. That speaks of a Father, the only Father, the creator of all fathers and all else, and he rules. If for no other reason, he ruled alone before there was anything. Everything he created, he ruled over because he was the source and force and course and purpose of it. Our Father means there's a group of somebodies under that banner, Father. Our Father. He's not looking for institutions. He's not looking for organizations. He's not looking for businesses. He's looking for his body. The first words of Jesus are often overlooked. It was before he was a teenager. He was 12. His mom and dad had lost him, so they thought. He just was old enough to find himself. And when his mother finally found him, she acted like a mom. I think she called him by all three names. Lord Jesus Christ, where have you been? Now listen, you need to listen to what he said. He understood that she didn't understand. And he said, Mom, don't you remember? I must be about my Father's business. My Father's business. The literal rendering of that is, I must be about my Father's house. The house is the family. We have mistaken what God desires. He thinks, we think, he likes a crowd. No, he likes a family. He wants a family. He will visit a family. He will drive a family. He will empower a family. He will give purpose and meaning to a family. And if there is a family, a father, a son, and a family, there is a family business, and that business is the kingdom. He didn't come to get us to heaven from earth. He came to get the Father of heaven in the fullness of his business down to earth, to get a family to rule with him over the rapidly, rapidly increasing universe forever and ever. That's where we're headed, and I have a very good report. I renew it every morning. I just check at the throne and see if there's anything I could suggest to God that he worry about with me. I fail every time. And this morning I just didn't feel like bothering him with that. And I felt his heart. And I can tell you, God is ruling right now. He sits on a throne. I don't know where it is. It doesn't make any difference. You probably can't see it, but it's there. It's real. It's the place where all reality is measured, all reality is assessed, all reality is sourced. Finding the throne is finding the rule of God. The rule of God is the kingdom of God. Jesus came to preach, not signs and wonders. He said, those will follow you. You get your heart and head straight with the one who runs this show, and all of that will happen automatically. If it's not happening, you can't make it happen like it is supposed to happen by trying to make it happen. You get God in the right place, and it'll happen. And so there's a lot of repenting we have to do. That is realigning our thinking with the Word of God. Listen to Jesus. He said, I'm come, my purpose is to preach the kingdom of God. You are to repent because That kingdom is at hand. Don't you worry about this issue of eschatology. At hand means right here. It means at hand. It doesn't mean just over there coming this way, or back there, or up there, maybe we'll get there. The kingdom of God, the rule of God, is present tense, here, right here. It's within reach. You can reach it with your mind. You can reach it with your mind turned toward Him. He made it sort of simple. If it got complicated, hell's been messing with it. And if the Christian life is puzzling to you, you're looking at the wrong side. It's just Jesus in action. It's just the family being expressed. So to the measure that we've strayed from the unquestioned sovereign rule of God, that happens, by the way, to be on time, up to date. God's not in a big hurry, because He planned this whole thing and He wants you to join Him in peace. I'll make a challenge to you. If I were you, I would think of the worst thing that could happen next Tuesday and decide how you're going to respond. Amen. And if you can't deal with that in God's way, you need to repent. Whatever happens will not affect whether God is in charge or not. Amen. But whatever happens will be the best thing that will bring the awakening that gets us through with this issue here and on to ruling with God on His throne forever. Amen. Thank you, both of you. The rest of you need to repent. Hey. I know what I want, and if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be sad. Forget it. The election has already taken place. You've been elected. Here is a crowd of the elect, and God has never stepped down and never has left any question as to who rules. God rules. Here's the definition of the kingdom. Here it is. The kingdom is the rule of God over everything, everywhere, and everybody forever and ever. That's the big definition. The lesser definition is the present definition. The rule of God emerging in the order of this world through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. You get in it. It will shape your thinking. It will not bring you to mourn over how you've been thinking. It'll cause you just to quit that kind of stinking thinking and get with the order of God in this book. You need not ever worry any longer than it takes you to remember that God Almighty, your Father, rules, and His life is in you, in the Spirit of God, representing Jesus Christ. And all He's asking you to do is to so seek the kingdom that embodied in you will be the Christ. And once in family, that Christ is being presented. He has promised, if I be lifted up, and He has been, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Welcome to the kingdom. Don't you think it's time we stop playing church and start playing kingdom with God? Watching Him order everything in our lives. The first word of the kingdom is order. It is issuing from the order of the covenant made between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And by the way, it is flawless. It has worked. What hasn't worked is somebody trying to work life without it. When we pray, your will be, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're not praying a reckless prayer. We're not praying something that God said, well, I'll think about it. He's already answered it. And the minute you say it, every word, every command in the model prayer is an aorist tense command, which means not yesterday or tomorrow, but right now, right here, this minute. And every time you pray, your kingdom come, it comes. If you'll welcome, it'll keep coming. But if you go to other business and consider it better to seek something else than the kingdom, it'll sort of slow down as far as you're concerned, and you'll lose your way in the order of God. But if you will just say, Lord, I just want to limber up my repenter, and I want to be ready to use it. I want to say, Lord, I'm sorry I had that thought of worry, concern, anger, frustration, criticism, disparaging remarks. See, the worst thing that's happened in the past couple of years is not what's happened on television or on the news or in the newspaper. It's what's happened in the lives of God's people who've turned to think any one of them is right. The whole batch is wrong if the kingdom is not at center. I'm going to have more fun than I've ever had next Tuesday. And I'll have the best day I ever had. And nothing's going to happen to bother that because of what? The kingdom. History's pages but record one death grapple in the darkness twixt old systems and the word. Right forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. But that scaffold sways the future, and beyond the dim unknown stands God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. Welcome to the kingdom.
I'm actually going to just borrow one of Papa Jack's messages. I'm not going to preach now, I guarantee you that. But the picture that is a very beautiful example of what is taking place. And I wanted, it's just a prophetic act that we wanted to release over this house. And I think we wanted to do it together as a family. But a picture was there with Moses. We know in the story of Moses where God, mainly also because of covenant, is stepping into the equation, and he's going to raise up a deliverer because somehow his people have been influenced by the world system. They become a slave to that system, and God wanted his people free. Take him into the promised land. And this is part of what is happening with us right now. The promised land has already been given to us, but it's very interesting to know that it was 31 fights and 7 nations needed to be occupied. It was given to us. But now how we've received that. But I'm saying that, so, but for Moses, he went to this stage in his life, as I said, because now the enemy was trying to stop him, mainly because of his destiny. So when he was 2 years old, we know the whole story. The devil's trying to kill all the baby boys because something is about to be born. Something is about to be changed. So even recognize where the enemy has attacked you is often where you have the greatest authority. So recognize and see where the serpent is trying to go after you. And you can also look on the other side to see the destiny that is over your life. But here is the interesting thing. Somehow in the middle of it, for God takes this little baby boy. Instead of killing him, he places him inside Pharaoh's home. And so here inside Pharaoh's home, here he gets all the education of the world system. Gets free diapers. I mean, everything is provided for by Pharaoh. For the next 40 years, Moses gets everything that is needed to be qualified. To be qualified to be the very person. I mean, he has the PhD in the linguistic, in the economics, of everything of the world system. So he gets 40 years to get qualified. Make the story short. But then he needs another 40 years before he gets disqualified. And that's how he becomes qualified. It takes 40 years, and then suddenly he's going to get ordained. But the first day of his ordination, he kills an Egyptian. And we know this story. And then he ends up in the wilderness until he doesn't know how to do anything any longer. And then eventually he ends up as a shepherd boy, and he stands there with a rod. And here's just this is actually a Papa Jack's sermon that I preach all over the world. But the story here that I wanted to capture, because I feel it's a beautiful picture for all of us, prophetically speaking, connected to that today. Because eventually we know the Exodus 3, the burning bush experience. And we're going to have some burning bushes experiences where we're going to burn brightly without burning out. Amen. Because we're going to burn oil of intimacy with our lover. But the next thing there in Exodus 4, God comes in and says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And he has a rod. He has a shepherd's rod. He has an in this rod. He has his identity. This is his protection. This is his provision. Everything is in this rod. The last 40 years, I've had this. And God says, I want you to lay it down. And I know that can be very difficult, but lay it down. Lay it down. And we know this story where Moses lays it down and becomes a serpent. And the poisonous nature has to get out of it. And until you have become free from it, you cannot be entrusted with it. And I didn't even realize in my life that there are so many things, including ministry and some of the things that we're doing, until I lay down. And this is on a regular basis. I just lay down. Did it yesterday, get on the floor. Including my own life, just lay it down. I'm just like a coin. Spend it whatever way you want to in your hand. But just lay down. And it's such a good freedom to just to be laid down and be free from it. And then in the next moment, then God says, now I want you to pick it up. But it looks like a serpent. And a poisonous serpent. And when he picks it up after the lesser end, the tail. And now the business end is going to be loose. But when he touches, it becomes God's rod. And now you're suddenly seeing Moses with God's rod, God's ability, God's power, God's authority, God's peace, God's presence. And then the situation starts. And I believe it's going to be a picture that we're going to see in America. We've lived now in the Middle East for the last over 20 years. And we're seeing this whole thing because this is when Papa Jack, he spoke this very thing to me over 10 years ago in one of my darkest moments. He said, son, what do you have in your hand? I want you just, you're going to learn how to hold a rod, throw down a rod, and pick up a rod. But if you pick it up too early, it's going to be a serpent. And some of you didn't see one of the videos where when you saw these people dancing, there were several thousand Muslims coming towards us to attack. And we had a few moments. The question is, what do you have in your hand? And at that moment is a good opportunity for heaven to come down. And that's what happened. When you saw the faces of the imams dancing and the glow on their face, heaven just opened up. But it was because of the rod. As long as we're holding up God's rod, we're holding up his name. We're holding up his covenant. We're holding up his ability. We're holding up his authority. We're holding up his presence. You're no longer living with pressure. You're living with pleasure. And so part of what we're seeing, so with Moses, the story here, the first situation is, 3 million whining, complaining, maybe orphans in mentality. It's going to pass to them. It's like, God, I have this problem. And God says, what do you have in your hand? And this is going to be the thing on Tuesday. This is going to be on Wednesday. God, we get these new, what do you have in your hand? And at that moment, if you start to sense pressure, lay it down. If you sense fear, lay it down. If you sense guilt, lay it down. Just get rid of it. Let all the poison get out of it. And then pick up his peace, his presence, his power, his authority, his joy, his freedom. Let's hold him up. We know another story. It's just these incredible stories here with Moses. Another situation. This time he's caught between the rock and the hard place. I don't know if you've been there. Wow, he's moving along. And then in the next moment, get the news. Pharaoh is ticked. He is mad. He's coming with his whole army to kill him. In the front of him is the Red Sea. And then on the other side, we know the story. And whole army is coming to kill. And again, we have a tendency. Oh, God, we have another situation. We got the news. And then stop for that moment. What do you have in your hand? And at that moment when you shift the, I got you. I got your peace. I got your presence. I got your joy. I got your freedom. I got your power. I got your authority. Suddenly what you're recognizing, God says I am. God's people says you are. And America will start to say he is. So this is what I felt we were supposed to do today. And the third story, and that's what I wanted to leave it with here, is the story where eventually it comes into the picture. Because we know the story. He opened up Red Sea, swallows, and just another wonderful story. And this is going to be the normal Christian life for ordinary sons and daughters that is just holding up and know that what we have in our hand. What do you have in your hand? I got you. I got your wisdom. You have all the wisdom that is needed. I got your power. I got your authority. I got you. But the next, this is the picture that I believe has been lacking. And this is what we felt with about a kingdom family movement and what we are about and why we are here also to support you. are even doing God's work, God's way, with God's power in America. You have been interceding. We've been doing it. Our arms starts to get tired. The biggest weapon of the enemy in this season, he's trying to wear us out. And what is going to happen is fatigue leads to fear. Fear leads to failure, and failure leads to forsaken. Then he tries to isolate you. So the biggest thing that is going to be the tool in this season when it comes to the rod, and that's a shift that is going on here. And part of the thing I wanted us as a family, with what Papa Jack, what Paul, and the rest of us, both with my wife and Frieda and all of us, we want to come in here and help you as Northland. You're part of the assignment of a bigger picture of what God is doing, to help you to hold up the rod of God. And in one moment, I know they are doing that in this season for them to be able to hold up what God has. He's bringing, maybe there's administrators or intercessors that is going to hold up. There's resources, there's other ones. But it is no longer individual superstars that is just operating with a rod. It is a family of God coming together. And then in one moment, when you're struggling with your children, somebody else comes along and said, let me stand. Let me remind, he is your promise keeper. Let me tell you, and we start to lift that up. When the attack of the enemy comes in, he is your healer. And we're starting then to hold up the rod of God of the promises in regard to the divine health that is over the family. If the enemy attacks one of us, he attacks all of us. We are family. But it should never be even with you alone with the rod of God carrying this by yourself, because now it is a family coming in. But then your family have something that another family in Atlanta don't have. And then your family come along and help them to hold up the rod. And this is the way that God is setting it up in this season. So let us also be aware that God, when he is operating in this kingdom system, in this kingdom family system, he's doing it together as a family. And that's one of the honor and one of the reasons I knew when I was going to speak here that I wanted to bring some of our family. Tariq from Pakistan. Dave here from Australia. Having my wife, Frieda, Catherine, a lot of the people that are here with us, we're here actually just, we are in a covenantal relationship with you. This is family to us. And I still remember when you were coming down and we were sitting down and I had first lunch there at Ted's and we were talking and so many of the things, even that was kind of a, you were leaving this almost like a cave of Adullam experience and moving into Hebron. You were no longer what you used to be, but had not yet become what you're supposed to become. And now you're seeing the other side of that, the very thing that has been in you because of your faithfulness. You're going to be full of faith for this next season. But I'm seeing also what the Father is doing. He's bringing in people to help to hold up the rod of God in this season. And he's going to do both individual for you, but he's also going to do for you as a corporate family of some of the assignment that you have, not just in this city, but also in the nations. And I know that you're carrying a mandate for family. And that's one of the mandates you have. And I do believe also, and I know here we have Johnny Enloe, who has written two phenomenal books in regard to the seven spheres. And I also believe that here you're going to see sons and daughters. If you had a church of seven people, and each one of them was son in each one of those mountains, then you're going to start as sons and daughters of glory, full of love and wisdom. You're going to start to see tipping points taking place in each one of those, because the family is the one that carries all of these things together. Because the kingdom is a family that is influencing all of these mountains. So what I want us just to do, and I want you to come, Dave, and just with a saxophone, and if you could come and stand up here, and then, yeah, and just Papa Jack and Paul, I just want symbolically, I wish we maybe even had a rod here, and we could, yes, let's do that, and come up and, Greg and Michelle. Greg and Michelle. I know we are kind of a, putting together 2 hours together in 45 minutes as a family. But, and Jennifer and Frieda, if you also can come up and join us here. But I'm just sensing that symbolically, and all of you also as a family, this is symbolizing just us as a family coming in to honor you as a family. Covenant, kingdom. You are oneness. Just we have a family of families in 22 nations that are connected together with you. We have a family of families that it's not just if something takes place here, when your stock goes up, all of our stock goes up around the world. But also when you are struggling suddenly, you're going to sense there a pull from these nations all over the world of other sons and daughters. We're coming together into an alignment with you. And we're going to help to hold that up. So just even as you're just holding up your arms, I want us just, Papa Jack and Paul, but especially in regard to these two things, I want us just to release and just to pray. And we're going to honor as we're going to hold up, whoa, the family rod.
Yes, Father, we speak over Greg and Michelle and over this house, the blessings of the new covenant, that this house will be solid, standing on the finished work of Jesus, and that the culture of heaven will grow. Sons and daughters will step into their divine destiny. And as one, together with them, Lord, we are one family. We open up the accounts of Asia, Southeast Asia, of those places among the nations, Lord, that they are also inheriting together with us. And we pray and we call for the blessings of that new covenant, that in that blessing, oh Lord, everything is available. All of heaven is open for them. Release your blessings for this season in this house. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. We raise up their hands, Lord. We will walk together with them. We believe in the call, your call for them, Lord, to be a blessing, to be builders of cities and nations, to be the ones who will bring the gospel of the kingdom and release heaven to earth. We believe in them. We love them. We support them in Jesus' name.
Jesus said, on this rock, who I am, the Christ, the Son of the living God, on that, Jesus said, I will build my church. And if I had been there, I'd have asked, and you surely would have. Okay, what does that leave for me to do? He answered before we had a chance to ask. I give you the keys of the kingdom. The understanding of how righteousness, the covenant of righteousness works. I'll give this to you. This pastor, this staff, others that go out from this church don't represent the church any more than you do. Every member, everyone in the nursery, and every custodian and everybody. And I'm going to just ask you, if you've heard enough, and I think you've heard it before, the kingdom message, I just want you to declare, I'm in. I'm in the kingdom. If you are, stand up. Would you do this as I pray? Would you just sort of take I know you can't take a lot of a step, but just sort of make a type of step forward and step up to what I'm about to pray. And here's the Father speaking to you. I'm about to give you, in fact, I've already given you keys. You've been carrying around a whole set of keys that fit every problem and every possibility and every challenge and every heartbreak and every heartache and every mammoth city problem and national problem and world problem. You're the solution to that problem because I'm giving you the kingdom. How it works, how it is empowered, how it moves through a community like a hurricane, how it leaves not damages but buildings, frameworks for the glory of God. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, touch every person. Just raise your hand to receive it. In Jesus' name, I speak the Father's language. I give you, through Jesus, the keys of the kingdom. Never mind how to use them. Never mind trying to understand with the brain that's in your head. Let the mind of Christ understand what's happening. Let it explode in you right now. I am a kingdom man. I'm a kingdom woman. I have a kingdom family. My business is a kingdom business. Lord, anoint them as you promised right now. In Jesus' name, be kingdomized. Say, Lord, kingdomize me. Take everything out of me that's not kingdom. that's not according to your agreement that is eternal. Remove from me, throw it down, and take on me, put on me the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not religious stuff. It's not going to church. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Receive it. Receive the kingdom in Jesus' name right now. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for your words. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your kindness. And Lord, what you've spoken today and what you've resonated in our spirit, what you've, Lord, been speaking for years, we now, Lord, say yes, sanction and agree with. And Lord, I pray that you'd continue to give us ears to hear and hearts to understand what the Spirit is saying to our church. Thank you for the wide open doors and the call, Lord. Thank you for the deposit, Lord, of years. Thank you for the richness, Lord, of the seed that you have given us to store. Now we sanction, Lord, the breath of God and the wind of God to pick the seeds up and take them around the globe. Only, Lord, not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and your faithfulness. I ask, Lord, for sons and fathers, daughters and mothers to be loosed from this place, the mature sons of the kingdom. Release, Lord, in Jesus' name. We say it again, Lord, not to us, not to us, to your name be the glory. Now, Lord, we thank you for your refreshing, put the anointing on this house, on these people who've come to minister. We release, Lord, the refreshing of our God, the restoration of our God. We release, Lord, to those guests who've come today, the smile of God. We speak out over you the message God gave us to speak, and that is restore. We restore, Lord, to them the favor of God. We restore, Lord, the inheritance of God. We restore the peace of God, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I bless your people. Thank you for your kindness. Would you stir in us, Lord, hearts that long for you, and that, Lord, as we turn our eyes away from everything else that clamors for attention, and as we look at you, Lord, would you do something in our days that we would not have believed if you'd have told us? Would you bring forth, Lord, life? Would you bring forth miraculous breakout? In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Very cool. Thank you so much, Leif and the family. It was lovely to have you.